Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Cloud Church of Conscious Harmony. It's a blessing to be together tonight. I thank you for your presence wherever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're experiencing in life. We are together, and I am grateful not to be alone tonight in the sanctuary. We have beloveds who have joined us for a meeting afterward, but it's a blessing to see all three of you. He'll take what he can get. Tonight, we will hear the gospel lesson that's famous. You could probably answer the phrase when I say, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the scraps from under the table." And this woman and her faith is a reminder to us about the nature of what happens when we come to the edge of our being and we actually need to ask for help. So we'll listen for wisdom from God's word in that passage and also in our teaching. But just two announcements to draw your attention to before we begin our time in the silence. The first is that this Sunday is the annual community meeting of the congregation, which normally happens in April. And because of COVID, we postponed that meeting, but that'll happen immediately following the 10 a.m. service. So around 11:30 this Sunday, just stay on the Zoom room that you'll be in for the worship and participate in that service and the community meeting. The board will be giving an update. And also, this coming Saturday, we have a one-day centering prayer retreat, and that begins at 9 in the morning and concludes at 3. And you can just go to the church website to register for that, or you can call the church office, but that's another meaningful opportunity for us to be together in community in the silence. Again, thanks for your presence tonight. Let's wish that this service would bless each of our lives and in some way bring love and consciousness to our community, to our families, and to our planet. Amen.
Staying in a place of deep rest, you're invited to listen for God's word to us. The gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not say a word in answer to her. His disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
There's a fantasy about living in a world without any second force. And perhaps you wish for less second force in your life. And if you don't know what second force is, when I say that phrase, you can think of second force as the door being closed that you'd like open, or as the force of gravity that keeps you on the earth. You can think of second force as what happens when you apply your foot to the brake of your vehicle. And second force is what resists us. And there's a fantasy in a lot of our lives, certainly in my life, that there would be less second force, and that the ideal world would be there would be no second force. And as a child, you know, this comes out in many ways, and the child in me that still exists, that there would be perpetual summer or perpetual Christmas morning, where constantly things were perfect. There would be no sickness, there would be no suffering, there would be no disease, there would be no bankruptcies, or there would be no debts, but there would just be constant abundance and growth and fruition and no second force. I think it's a normal fantasy to have, especially when you're faced with unusual second force or unusual or overwhelming resistance or a situation that seems like it's there to kill you, and perhaps maybe it is. And if not kill you, then perhaps someone you love, like this woman in the passage. She wanted to get rid of the second force in her life in the form of a sickness or disease that she called being possessed with the demon. It wasn't she who was possessed with the demon. It wasn't she who was afflicted with the disease. It was her daughter. And I suspect that for many of us, as people that love others, especially mothers and fathers, that they would give anything. They would give their very life to remove the second force that's occurring in their child or grandchild's life. And so if you've forgotten what it feels like to not want second force for you, I'm sure you have not forgotten what it feels like to not want second force for your child or for your grandchild. And that's where this woman shows up. Her edge of her being is when she realizes that her child is suffering and dying. Well, let's look at this passage just very briefly and see what wisdom and insights we can gain in terms of moving beyond our desire to have second force and transforming our second force experiences by way of third force. Now, Jesus in this story has gone to the region of Tyre and Sidon. I like how you say that with your Texas accent. It sounds like tire, kick the tire. Well, in a certain sense, Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon because he was tired. And Tyre and Sidon were retreat cities on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, far away from Galilee and far away from Jerusalem, where he was being hounded and threatened to be killed. So he goes up to this resort area on the Sea of the Mediterranean Ocean. And it's a beautiful place in the world. And he thought he could just disappear for a while from his second force and forget about it for a second or two and just enjoy himself and recharge because he was tired. And this was like going to another state. In fact, you might think of Tyre and Sidon, the region of Tyre and Sidon, where the Canaanites dwelled, as a place like Florida or Hawaii, where you might go when you need a break from life or a vacation from all the second force that's normal in your day-to-day workaday life. So he goes to this resort area, and he gets confronted by someone who he thought would never recognize him, but there is this woman who has this particular need, and she's crying out, not just asking, but she's literally making a scene, so much so that Jesus' handlers say, you know, get this woman out of here. She's a crazy woman. She's bothering us. She's yelling. She won't let go. She won't let you go. And she really had a problem. And so she finally comes to Jesus and is allowed to talk to him, and she says what her need is. And it's a powerful moment in the gospel because it shows us that Jesus has a side to him that isn't always loving and sweet and tender and kind, that he has a bit of an edge or at least a coldness to him that oftentimes comes out when he's exhausted, when he's run out of steam. And it's not that he says this harsh statement to the woman. He kind of mutters it underneath his breath. It's as if he's talking to himself like, I'm not here for anyone else except the Jewish people. That's what my mission is all about. And it's as if he doesn't say no to her and he doesn't accuse her of anything. He just says, this is what I'm about. I'm not here to deal with you. And Then this amazing woman says something that is extraordinary, and Jesus, accuses her of, essentially equates her with being a dog, and this was a low statement to make, and she turns that around. She turns all that second force around, that closed door around, and she says, she turns it back on him using his own words and says, yes, but even the dogs eat scraps from the master's table, which is a masterful way of turning second force around by way of intelligence and slyness. But more than anything, it reveals the desperate nature which she had come to the edge of her being. And she's given this degree of humility not to resist him, not to argue with him, not to take it personally. I'm not a dog. What are you talking about? That's how many emotional people would take it. In the moment of exasperation, they might react emotionally and blow up and miss the moment to transform second force. But in this moment, she takes this as an opportunity not to be identified with her emotion, not to be identified with the latent criticism that Jesus was labeling her a dog, but to accept it, to take that bitter pill, so to speak, and transform it for the sake of love for her daughter. And if we could all learn from this woman, when we come to the edge of our being, not to get so identified with whatever the situation is, but to keep growing deeper and look for that transforming moment, that transforming insight, that transforming third force that comes from above, outside of the situation, and changes it forever. And in this case, it does change it, because her moment of wisdom and insight and slyness, accepting the charge that she's a dog and using it to her benefit, is a miracle. And it results in the miraculous healing of her daughter. And this woman gets what she wished for. This woman comes to the edge of her being, doesn't get identified, keeps passionately asking for what she wishes for, and receives it. When I was a young boy, I was taught the game of chess. And perhaps some of you know the game of chess and love the game of chess. But when I was a little boy, and to this day, my favorite piece on the board was something that I always will remember being taught for the first time, the game of chess. And I understood the game of chess almost intuitively. I think I was 7 or 8 years old when I first learned it. It was a wonderful game. And I loved the queen, obviously, because she seemed to be the most powerful. And like many women, run the house, so you want to talk to the man in charge or the woman who knows what's going on. They have the real power. The queen has the real power. Truly, the king is immobilized, can only move one square at a time, but the queen can move in any direction for as many squares as she wishes. You might think that that was my favorite piece. It wasn't. I loved castles. They were unique. They could move in very special direction all the way in one line or all the way in vertical or horizontal. But when the dear one who taught me how to play chess showed me the knight, I was mesmerized by the knight, because it was the only piece that could leap over its enemy and get another piece. The knight has this capacity to move in an L-shaped move. It's called the knight's move. And it's surprising. It's that turn that you don't expect and allows you to capture another piece on the board. And it's very easy to miss your opponent's knight, because you're not thinking about that always, that they can actually come and make that knight's turn. It's a beautiful way of thinking about moments in our lives as the knight's move. And later in life, I came across a professor at seminary whose name is James Loder. He's an extraordinarily wise man. He was actually a Pentecostal theologian in a very Presbyterian seminary. And he didn't belong there, but he became a Pentecostal because he had a spiritual experience that changed his life forever. And that spiritual experience was when he was driving on the road in New Jersey on the turnpike, and he got a flat tire and he pulled over and he was changing it. His wife and his daughter were in the car. And as he was changing this wheel, a car rear-ended him. And he was pinned between the two cars. And he'll never forget this moment when he did something that he could never explain after that. But he said he was overcome with the sense of light encircling him and the sense of deep peace. And his wife was screaming and terrified. She didn't know what to do. And he looked at her. And to calm her, he said he was given a strength to do something he couldn't have normally done. And he literally lifted the car up from on top of him, and he was able to move out from the car. And that one act apparently saved his life. And he spent the rest of his professional life trying to understand the power of the Holy Spirit, the mystery of the Spirit. And he wrote a book called The Knight's Move, which is all about the unexpected ways in which the Holy Spirit works in our lives, transforming second force into third force, releasing the captives, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, setting free the possessed in ways we'd never expect or imagine. The Knight's Move. So watch for the Knight's Move that comes out of nowhere, that L-shaped move that you're not expecting. And then try and enact the Knight's Move more in your life, like this dear woman, the Canaanite woman, who really played the game of chess with the Lord very slyly. Yes, you might call me a dog, but watch this move. Even the dogs eat from under the table, the scraps that are thrown. Jesus responds and says, your faith is great. Well, another way of talking about that Greek word there is, your faith is out of this world. Your faith is terrific. Your faith sees moves that I didn't. Your faith is third force seeing, not third force blind. Game of chess is a beautiful example of the game of life. Wherever you might feel checkmated by life, checkmated by second force, call upon the Holy Spirit in the moment for transforming moments that literally set you free from the grip of second force and enable you to be, as it were, a dog who's free. A dog who's free to be a dog, and a dog who can eat the scraps and save a life. That's a transforming moment. Eat the second force and see what might arise. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment and let the Holy Spirit provide that Knight's Move in our hearts and minds today. Amen. For the benediction, for those of you who joined us late, a reminder, there is a one-day centering prayer retreat this Saturday on Zoom. You can go to the church website to register or call the church. And that is from 9 a.m. to 3. And Sunday morning, please join us for our community meeting immediately following the service, the 10 o'clock service. And you can just remain on the Zoom room that you watch the 10 o'clock service for the community meeting. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, power, and transforming moments of the Holy Spirit are with you in your moments of second force.